Every year in December, we welcome back the Tibetan monks from the Drepung Losaling Monastery, which is in India. And this year I'd like to welcome to the Radio Cafe Gala Rinpoche, Jimpa, Kalsang, and Sonam. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you are here doing a lot of things, and we'll talk about each one. But one of the things that is happening, which happens every year, is that you make a mandala.
Yes.
What is, for those who've never witnessed this, what is the making of a mandala, a sand mandala, all about?
Making of sand mandala is all about your spiritual connection with the external world. And this is a tool for enrich your spiritual quality, and also it's connect you to the higher spiritual development. That's the final aim or the goal was to reach the enlightenment, and generally speaking, it's to become a better person through training of our own mind. And the mandala we use as a tool to enrich our spiritual progress, and also it's as employ as many different purpose. Some are for purification, some are for renewing our energies, some are to generate a positive energy in our environment, and some of them have a special purpose to need the fulfill the needs of our daily life's requirements, like if we for the well-beings, like health, we need to create the mandala of the medicine Buddha, and also for wealth, like here in Santa Fe in this year, our organizers has choose to create the mandala on Zambala. This is a Buddhist deity which is very effective and very much related with the well-being of to solve the properties, because this time in our world we have so many recessions and so many problem, economical crisis. For that reason, then I think this is the one deity who have a special power to save us from the poverty. And so we are doing that mandala.
To save from poverty.
Yeah, poverty.
Now, the mandala begins on Saturday, the 11th of December at Surrett & Sons at 2 o'clock, and you'll be making it every day until it's dismantled. Well, you'll be making it, and then it will be finished at a certain point, and then dismantled on New Year's Eve, which is always a really fun thing in itself. It's something that when people watch you doing it, making this incredibly intricate, beautiful, complex circle with all different colors of sand, you make it look easy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
It's definitely, these guys are trained back in India before they came here. They trained for last 7 or 6 years. And before they qualified to be in a part of this Mystical Arts of Tibet tour. So they are training in a very unique way, and a very rigorous training have to be undergo each and every individuals. And then procedure of learning is not only simply pouring the sand, but they have to memorize the whole text about mandala. Each specific mandala has their own description and own meanings. And then they have to memorize the color pattern and the line pattern.
That's right, because they're not referring to a diagram when they're doing it.
Yeah, very common question. Wherever we do the mandala creation, the people says how they can create these things without referring or reference to any other textbooks. Because once they started it, they keeps on pouring until it comes to the completion. So that's all they in mind, and also it's not only just memorizing, but it's with the period of time and with the practice, they learn the skill to walk together as being a team, So it's a very practical process of learning, and
So the level of skill is at least as great as any kind of Western arts where somebody trains to be an oil painter or a sculptor mm-hmm. or something like that, mm-hmm. and it has the additional dimension of having a textual and a spiritual component, ultimately all of these things are for the good not only of yourselves but of mankind, sentient beings, yes, the people yes, around yes. you and in the town.
Yes, this
How
right.
do you translate this incredible knowledge and discipline to ordinary people who come to Surrett and Sons in the afternoon?
Yes, so our main focus here in secular environment, when we do this kind of Sun Mandala in the secular environment, you know, we try to educate the people through understanding the purpose of creating the Sun Mandala and the meaning, you know. It's just a mandala, usually it's a guide map for the spiritual journey. We can say it's a GPS for the spiritual journey. So you need to understand what it's trying to tell you, especially understand how you should deal with our daily life problems, not only the financial, but, you know, our emotional problem, which is the main problem for each and every individual who lives in this planet. And as a, generally speaking, it's an sentient being suffer from emotional problem is the main root problem to enlighten us from that problem. So we, and then also text says, if any, you know, person without regarding their background, even they are non-believer in any religion, particular religion, but once they came to view those sacred mandalas, then they have some kind of positive transformation in their mind to bring them some kind of change in their life. So in this is not only the text as mentioned, but people can feel that, you know. And many people come to view the mandala and they see and then totally change their life. You know,
really?
We have many people are saying, you know, this is a life-changing moment for us to see this mandala, you know. So I think it's a big impact any person who come to see.
Now, you will also be giving a talk on the mandala on Monday, the 13th of December at 4 in the afternoon. And the talk is called From Confusion to Enlightenment.
Yes, yes. So this talk was mainly focused on trying to tell the audience how we why we confused. Confusion comes from our mind, because mind is the main responsibility to bring us happiness as well as suffering. The suffering caused from confusion. The confusion in here in Buddhist context is, not knowing the reality of our natures. When we don't know the reality of our nature, of our existence, then we get confused and we get struggling and suffering and getting ourselves miserable. So in another way around, we can say that Confucian mind need to be enlightened through educated of our mind and through understand the real existence and evolution and dissolution of our external world and internal world. And through that process, then we can unlock our confusion through understanding the real fundamental nature of our mind that we call the Buddha nature, and which was at generally ordinary people, we are deluded with a different afflictic emotion. We call afflictic emotion like hatred, anger, jealousy, but they are not the nature of mind. They are just temporary thoughts that's disturbing our mind. Like it's a, you know, our mind, we give a example, like mind is totally a pure like water, but it's time being, it's mixed with the different substances. Once water was pure water was diluted with the other unhealthy substances, then it's become impure and no use. Same thing over mental position at the ordinary person is diluted with those afflictive emotions. This afflictive emotion has its cause and condition and root. Once we able to understand the cause and condition and able to apply the antidote for all these afflicted emotions, then we can enlighten.
And what is the antidote for all those afflictive emotions?
So in Buddhist context, we have more than 48,000 different category of afflictive emotions.
Good heavens.
So
and you've memorized them, and each one has a mandala. No.
Yeah. So the main, these are three, we call, these are included in three categories called attachment, ignorance, and hatred.
Attachment, ignorance, and hatred.
Hatred. So this has their own antidote. The main antidote was to realizing the reality of nature, or we can other way we can say that to realizing the emptiness. So emptiness, without realizing, we call this the wisdom. To understand the emptiness is called wisdom aspect. This is the main antidote for all the afflictive emotions.
On the 18th of December, which is a Saturday, you are doing a concert at the James A. Little Theater, and that's also something that you do every year.
Yes. So this concert is not just a Western rock star or like that, but it is a spiritual, sacred music, sacred dance, performing of spiritual dance and chanting, which has a, what do you call this, power, or has some kind of energy to purify the negativity that we collect in our past life, in the past years, and then bring a positive energy and a renewable energy for the new year. So in Tibetan tradition, also we perform this kind of dance and music in our society at the eve of New Year, New Year Eve, yes.
I love that this is something that Marcia Keegan of Clear Light Books has pointed out, that here in Santa Fe, yeah, there's some people who go and get totally drunk on New Year's Eve, but there's a lot of people who come to the closing of a sand mandala and just experience the transience that happens when you sweep the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is actually, very interesting and very profound teaching in our Buddhist tradition. And sweeping mandala was not just to destroy the beautiful art and see that and make sad, but to understand really meaning behind that. You know, many people has asking us, why are you destroying the beautiful arts walking for a long period of time,
right?
And then end of the time you are destroying this. So in here, the creating art not only itself not only give the meaning, but destroying it has a more profound meaning, because if we realize mandala can teach us how our life is so beautiful, involving so many, countless of individuals to make it a very, complete a happy life. And the end, we're all going to die. So many problems which human beings face are not understanding the impermanence of life. So metaphor and the real meaning behind dismantling the mandala was to understand the impermanence of all the conditioned things. This is why we emphasize on impermanence, because most of the time we think it's a concrete and always should be like same thing that what we want, but it's not gonna same thing. So it's change, keeps changing. When the things change, then we really get upset. We don't want, especially change that goes ugly. So people don't want to see that. And once we remind ourselves, keep reminding of the things that can change, then it's very easy for us to accept the things that change. So it's...
There's a question that I have about that, which I don't know how to understand within the context of accepting change, which is when there is change like climate change.
Yes.
Like the destruction of the rivers and the oceans, the mm-hmm. death of the oceans, the death yeah. of the fish. We depend on all of these things.
Right, right.
It's done out of some of these negative afflictive emotions like greed
yeah, right, right.
and ignorance.
Right,
right?
That's true.
That's why these things happen in the yeah. first place. Mm. They affect all of us, including you enlightened yeah, yeah. people and us ordinary sort of semi-aware people.
Uh-huh.
How do you deal with that? In other words, yeah, you can go into yourself, but my going into myself will not help the oceans to survive.
Oh, yeah. So this, from the Buddhist point of view, to dealing with those changes, especially, like disasters, so natural disasters, change that caused by natural disasters, that's just, we cannot do. Just we have to accept the things that it's happening,
Right.
But man-made disasters, like destroying the natures and like deforestations and polluting the water by dumping all those chemical waste products, that's really in our hand to change. And we should be mindful, and we should really understand the seriousness of those drawbacks of all this mishandling in this you know, different areas in different societies. So that's as a responsibility for every individual who are involving those kind of things. Then they have to really take care about this, and we need to be more aware. This comes through awareness of the serious, you know, drawback of those actions. So I think that's how we have to deal with them.
We have every year also on this program another little tradition, which is that the monks whom you bring from the monastery do a little bit of chanting for us. Could we do that today? Would you like to do a little bit of chanting? Can you explain to us what this chanting is about?
Your chanting here we will do, we call this giving and taking. It's a very profound chanting in our Buddhist practice. Giving means, you know, we visualize to give all of our positive energy and everything to the all sentient beings who are suffering in the world, and to taking all the suffering and negative energy to oneself. So this is one of the most profound chanting that we usually do. So we are going to do that now, and also we are doing some kind of chanting and blessing on the date on the 11th.
The 11th Saturday. This
11th
coming
Saturday,
Saturday
in the Claylight Publishing House.
Yeah, the 11th of December at 11 in the morning at the Clearlight Book Gallery at 851 West San Mateo.
Yeah, so we chant and do some blessings, personal healings, and also blessing for the public. So we request anyone who would like to participate over chanting for the New Year Eve to purify our negativities and to renew our energies. We welcome them, and today we are going to do some chantings here.
Will it work on our radio listeners? Will it have a positive effect on people who are listening in their cars?
Okay.
With Jimpa, Kalsang, and Sonam, and Jimpa is the, what would you call it?
Chant
master with a beautiful, beautiful voice. This is another question that I wanted to ask you, is these chantings, these mandalas, all of these things that you do go out to other people, but I mean, I thought that for people to purify themselves and to get over their own ignorance and hatred and things like that, that's kind of their job, isn't it?
Yes, right.
Their own job.
Right. right? This, you know, actually, yeah, you are right. In Buddhist teaching, Buddha says we are responsibility for our own well-beings and our own sufferings. You know, that's because it's all the sufferings and happiness mainly on depend on our mind. The mind is the fundamental, principal source of happiness as well as suffering. So to become a happy person or to become enlightened, we need to train our mind and then get enlightened and to solve the problems. And if we, you know, if we have a confusion mind, then all this suffering arise. Suffering come from all those afflictive emotions. But this chanting and our prayers are just fascinating. It's like taking the supplementary tablets to enrich your physical well-beings. But the main, you know, physical well-being was you have to maintain, you have to do the exercise, and you take the food. But this, it's a supplementary, supplementary tablet gives you, boosts you, and help you to become a healthy physical body. So it's this chanting and prayers are same like supplementary tablets.
Speaking of supplementary tablets, that's something else that I wanted to ask you. There are so many people who take antidepressant tablets and things like that, and they find balance, peace of mind, well-being through those things instead of using meditation, things like that. What do you think about that?
Oh, that was the really big change. If people could do that, you know, they can reduce a lot of those tablet taking for the depression and the sleep and all these things. You know, that's very common. I see very common in Western life. So if we can maintain a calmness through meditation, through training, we can reduce a lot of those tablets. And that we need to, you know, we should keep in our mind that this transformation and the training was not easy. And you need proper guidance. You need to take time to cultivate or to transform your attitude to adapt in a positive way. So this you need to work out yourself. Like, you know, once we have to be maintain of a good physical structure or figure, we need to go to the gym and walk for every hours and maintain that in daily life. Same thing to maintain our physical inner well-being. We need to do meditation every hour in our daily life. Then we can see within a period of time, we can see the benefit and it's a positive change, and we can experience that in daily life. Then definitely, I can say 100% we can reduce those tablet that we are taking.
But I mean, most of us don't have that kind of time.
Yeah, time, you know. Yeah, that's we call this self-reliance laziness. Because if we make a time, you know, we have to see the really purpose, you know, whether you want to become a happy person or whether you want the money or to doing other jobs, which will benefit you. You know, we have to understand that. If we, you know, say we don't have a time and emphasize more on external resources like doing the business and making our money, and internally we are getting sick and degenerating over mental well-being as well as a physical well-being, then I think it's out of ration, out of proportion. If our meditation and our spiritual practice, whatever you call it, to change your habit or to change your well-being, and if it benefits you more than what you earn doing other stuffs, then I think we have to definitely change that pattern of time, and also we have to take more time on cultivating those things.
Gala Rinpoche is here with Jinpa, Gasang, and Sonam from the Drepung Losaling Monastery in India. They're Tibetan monks, and they've got a whole schedule of activities coming up, which I'll just go through once again very, very briefly. This coming Saturday, the 11th of December, they'll be at Clear Light Book Gallery at 851 West San Mateo doing a blessing and chanting, and that's open to the public. And these are all open to the public. And then that same day, Saturday, they will start their sand mandala at Surrett & Sons Gallery at 2 in the afternoon. That's at 121 Sandoval next to Alpine Sports. And they'll be doing the mandala, what, every afternoon?
10 to 5, yes. Morning 10 to 5.
10 to 5 every afternoon.
Yes.
And they will be doing a daily chanting from 4:30 to 5 every afternoon from the 11th of December until the 30th of December when the mandala is finished, and they'll be dismantling it on New Year's Eve, which is always a big event. And
yes.
I actually one year went home with a little bit of sand, which
yes,
I still have.
Yes.
And then on Monday the 13th of December at 4 o'clock, you, Gala Rinpoche, will be giving a talk
yes.
over at the mandala at the store, Surat & Sons, called From Confusion to Enlightenment. And then finally on Saturday the 18th of December, there is a concert at 7 o'clock with all the monks doing their various things in
yes.
great costumes
yes.
and instruments at the James A. Little Theater, 7 o'clock on Saturday, a week from this Saturday. So, lots of things. Great to have you back in Santa Fe.
Thank you.
And thanks
it's
for being on the Radio Cafe.
It's a pleasure to be back here. Thank you.